All right, here we are. The Gilcan Run Show, Episode 8. We are rolling, we are going. We've been running for 8 weeks. That's 2 months, if you didn't know. 2 whole months of doing this, once a week, coming to you. Shared a lot of miles together, lots of laughs, some other stuff, and there's going to be more today. It's going to be kind of serious. Before I go any further, I forgot something. Hold on. This is going to get kind of crazy. Packy tortilla chips, haunted ghost pepper. Serving, about 12 chips, 140 calories. I'm going to try and eat 12 chips without touching my eyes. If I start touching my eyes, laugh, because I'm going to be in pain while we're doing this. So, here's chip number one. It's kind of a tiny one. Make sure I only use one hand to eat these things. Oh, that's hot. All right. So, I should have definitely got water. Chip number one. We're going to try and be serious and at the same time prove a point here. I'm causing myself a lot of pain. I'm very good with hot food, but we're going to cause probably some pain. I'm going to guess that 12 chips is going to be a bit too much. The thing here is that a lot of bad stuff has been happening for a long, long time. And we're going to get into that. First, I'm going to talk about running for a little bit. And I'm going to talk about everything and then go into the bad stuff. Okay, so here's my thing, right? So Brantford Road Race was this weekend, right? I did great, I mean, considering. I thought that 9:30s is what I was going to do, which is like 47 minutes and 30 seconds over the course of 5 miles. It's a 5 mile race. So I'm like, oh, I'll do 9:30s, whatever. And I got out there, and next thing you know, first few miles, I'm doing like 8 minute miles. And I'm like, holy shit, I might be able to do it in under 40. Like, that's usually my goal with a 5 mile race, is to do it under 40 minutes. 8 minute miles, pretty good, right? So we're sitting there. And I was running with some people from my club and, you know, keeping pace and keeping them going, keeping myself going. And what was really cool is my buddy Jeremy and, well, my buddies Jeremy and Becky, they're husband and wife, right? Jeremy wasn't able to be there. I ended up catching up to Becky at the start and we were just kind of cruising along. And a little bit after mile one, there are these kids holding up these inflatable aliens, and they're sitting there, and she goes, because she was with me in Vermont, her and Jeremy were with me in Vermont, and I was talking about doing 50 high fives, and she goes, so how many aliens have you high fived? And I'm like, well, you know, none. She's like, I think you can get 3 right there. So that's what I did. It was really cool. Brantford's a pretty cool race. They didn't have the bands out this year because of the weather. That's not a good chip. Here's a good chip. So this will be number two. They didn't have the bands out this year because of the weather, but it was still pretty cool. We had a good time. 41:18, I think, was my net time. And I actually beat my friend who is much faster than me normally, but for some reason, I seem to do pretty well in a 5 mile race against him. I beat him by like 5 seconds. So, sorry, Paul. I got you on this one. So, that was pretty cool. Okay, chip number two. Got to do it. I'm already like burning up. So, it was a good race. It was a fun race. Mile one marker of the Brantford road race. Right? My grandmother's brother, my uncle Frank, and his wife Shirley, and their kids grew up in this house. It's a big colonial style house. Very typical of New England. Very nice house. And after his kids grew up, he built a house on the property behind his house for my cousin Beth. Actually, my mother's cousin Beth, but that's neither here nor there. So, I'm passing by the house. I'm like, oh, hey, Uncle Frank and Aunt Shirley's old house. I'm not expecting anything. There's a water station there. And then I hear someone say, who's that? And I look over, and there was my cousin Beth, right? So, that was cool. So, it's pretty cool. It's nice to be you know, upbeat and positive, and good things happen to you during a race. So that's very good. There's no way I'm getting through 12 trips in this thing. I'm going to tell you that right now. Not without breaking, going downstairs, getting a glass of milk and drinking it, because holy crap, my mouth is already on fire. So anyway, so we're sitting there. And, you know, I finished the race better than I expected. It was fun. I had a good time. Hung out with my running club. I feel like maybe I could have done a little bit better, but my breath wasn't really there. I was having some problems. I left well enough alone. I'm focused on my big goals, which are 1,500 miles for the year and a marathon every month. So we're working on that. So we're sitting there and it's really hot. So I've been running, getting my miles in, and I've been watching the news, of course, and reading the news and going over everything. And, you know, clearly I'm a sensitive guy, right? I'm bothered by a lot of things. I'm going vegetarian. I had a lovely vegetarian bolognese for dinner tonight. It was nice. I have sympathy, I have empathy for other living beings, even the bad ones. I've talked about that. You know, I've said, you know, even horrible people, people that, like, there's no business being around them or anything, like, still, like, treat them with compassion and sympathy. It doesn't mean you have to like what they do. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to say, you know, oh, well, you can just do whatever you want. If they're legitimately doing something bad, like murderers and stuff, screw them. They're horrible people, but still, like, you know, don't hate them, because that's what caused them to do what they did. They're full of hate. So we got to break that cycle, right? That's the whole thing. We got to break the cycle. We got to say, you know what? Screw this shit. Break the cycle. Stop it from happening, right? That's where I'm at with that. You know, obviously, I don't support state-sponsored murder, just like I don't support individual people murdering. Don't support it at all. I don't support crime at all, okay? Unless you're breaking a law that's truly unjust, or you're protesting against something that's truly unjust and you're getting arrested for it, fine. If you're making righteous action and it happens to be against the law, that's fine. Although, accept your punishment, you know. Either the law will change or you just have to deal with it. That's what Gandhi taught, right? You fight against what you need to fight against. People call it, you know, call what he did nonviolence. It's not nonviolence. They call it passive. It is passive. It's not nonviolence. Wait, no. Hold on. It's not passive. It is nonviolent. That's what I meant to say. I'm screwing up here, right? You know, his whole thing was, you go out, you cause a reaction, you want a reaction, you want to get arrested, you want to get, you know, you want the cops to club you in the head, you want a reaction, you want to show how unjust these things are, because other people will see it, who may have supported that position, and go, well, wait a minute, maybe that's not right. And I know in today's media, it's very difficult to do that. You go out, you protest, you know, cops killing people pretty much indiscriminately based on the color of their skin. And they're like, oh, you're rioting, and it's terrible. But then, like, a bunch of college kids, their team wins the championship, and they flip over cars and light things on fire and loot stores. That's not rioting. That's kids blowing off steam, right? I'm intentionally leaving out color distinctions here. You can figure it out. Read between the lines on your own, all right? Even though I just said that and kind of ruined the whole illusion. But, you know, the thing is, you go out, you want a response. If you're not getting a response, you keep pushing until you get a response. You need a response. If you don't get a response, then you're being ignored and you're not doing anything. So the whole point is, you push until they respond. Hopefully other people see it and say, wait a minute, those people were okay. And the system that I support was saying that they weren't. I got to change that system. That's the point of it. That's how it works. That's how it really worked in India. There was violence in India. Don't get me wrong. There were people that didn't listen. There was a lot of violence. But Gandhi sat there and he stopped the violence. You know how he stopped the violence? He didn't eat for days on end. He fasted. He would not take food. He would not take water. He lay there until they stopped. And he did it more than once. I mean, that's dedication. And you have to believe in what you're doing. And if what you're doing is right, then it'll be easy for you to go out there and do these things. And that's the thing. You know, you have to have the courage. And it's so hard to have the courage to stand up and do what's right and not lash out even when people are attacking you physically. Right? That takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of guts. And you have to be willing to die for what you believe in at that point. You really do. So, you know, that's the thing. It's a lot of pain. You got to take a lot of pain in order to really change something that way. But it does work. It can work. You just have to be true to it. You have to stand tall and you have to do it. You know, just like running a marathon or an ultra or whatever. You know, you can't half-ass it. You have to believe in it. You have to believe in yourself. And you have to go out there and really put everything into it. And that's how nonviolence works. You have to be active. You have to resist. You have to cause reaction. And you have to not be afraid of that reaction. Whether that reaction be violence or prison or whatever, you have to not fear it. You have to say, what I'm doing is just, I am right, and no matter what comes my way, I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, the media, you know, I hate to say the media, you know, the news corporations and what they're doing now, it's just, oh, it's easy, we'll paint this as rioting, we'll, you know, say, you know, call people thugs and whatever and pass it off. But if you just keep at it, eventually they won't be able to do that because, I mean, they used to call Gandhi those names, you know, and he wasn't. He was nonviolent. He never raised a hand. You know, he fought for what was right without fighting, without physically getting into an altercation. He would walk and people would get in his way, and normally they wouldn't beat him up. They would beat other people up. Normally he'd just get thrown in prison. But it's what he did. Honestly, Gandhi, the movie made in like the, what was it, 81 or 80, something like that. Sir Ben Kingsley was in it. If you haven't seen it, it's a long movie. Watch it. It does a really good job of depicting the events of Gandhi's life that led to the independence of India. And, I mean, yeah, it glosses over some stuff because, I mean, it's a big, long story. But he even, you know, they even left in how Gandhi felt about World War II, where he said, no, you can defeat the Nazis with nonviolence. It just would be a great sacrifice. And you have to be willing to make that great sacrifice. You really do. If you really want to be free, then you have to be willing to make that sacrifice. Freedom doesn't consist of making somebody else die for your freedom, like we believe now, because that's what we believe. We send the military somewhere, kill people for our freedom. That's what we're told, that's what the story is, that's what we believe. The reality of it is, that's not freedom. Freedom is being willing to say, these are my principles, I'm going to stick by them no matter what, and if someone's going to throw me in jail or beat me up, or even kill me for what I believe, I'm going to keep believing it. I'm not going to hide who I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am. I'm just going to be me. And that's a lot to ask from people. It really is. But people are doing it. Willingly and unwillingly, people are doing it. And that's what happened in South Carolina last week, is somebody went into a church and made 9 people unwillingly give up their lives for what they believed in. It was terrorism. Anyone who says that it was anything other than terrorism, it was an attack on religious... No. It was terrorism, domestic terrorism brought on by systemic racism. That's it. Okay, that's what happened. That's what's going on. So, you're sitting there and you have this happening, and you know, you're just gonna, you know what? They're taking down flags now. Okay, that's a good, honestly, it's a start of something. Okay, that flag is the flag of traitors. It is the flag of hatred. It is the flag of violence. It is the flag of war. Okay? People, oh, it's history. It doesn't mean those things to me. Listen, there are like a million writings up to the vice president of the Confederacy saying this war is about slavery. Okay? This war is about owning other people as property. Okay? Just get rid of the flag, please. But more so than that, start changing your attitude, okay? Stop looking down on people because they're different. And I don't care how they're different. In this particular instance we're talking about, they look different. They're no different other than how their genes are expressed. It's a funny thing, okay? I did a lot of genealogy stuff with my family tree. Okay, I know pretty much where I come from on paper. And then I did a DNA test. And what it turns out is, well, I'm mostly Italian. Most of my DNA comes from Southern Europe and Italy. 24%, 22%, something like that. And a lot of it comes from Northern Europe, because my father's family's Norman in English. But it's been in America since 1638. The fact of the matter is that, except for Pacific Islanders, Caribbean Islanders, and I want to say, what was the other one? South African. So those three groups, Pacific Islanders, Caribbean Islanders, and Northern Asian people. My genes represent the rest of the world. Native American, Southern Asian, Middle Eastern, Northern African, everywhere. Finnish, they actually sort out Finnish because it's different than other Scandinavian peoples. And obviously, with my father's family being English Norman, you know, they came over in 1066. There wasn't enough Saxon violence at the Battle of Hastings, right? So, like, literally everything is represented. And very rare for European, quote-unquote, my mitochondrial DNA, which is the DNA that gets passed down from a mother to all of her offspring. So, like, all of your siblings have the same mitochondrial DNA from your mother. And all her siblings have the same mitochondrial DNA from their mother. And so on and so forth. And it stays the same except for like mutations, right? Well, the haplogroup, which is the broad general group of where that mitochondrial DNA comes from, for European, is very, very, very rare to have a Neolitic, a Nile River Valley haplogroup for mitochondrial DNA. I do. Most of the people with that DNA are from the South Sudan, Ethiopia area. Okay? And here I am, Italian and Norman and everything. My mother's family is all Italian. They all came from Italy. But my grandfather's family were merchants, and I'm guessing that there were a lot of trade deals sealed with marriages back in the day, and that's how everything happened the way that it happened. So very, very rare for European to have the, I think it's L3 or something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head right now, but it's like the L3 haplogroup, and it's you know, basically centered in South Sudan, what's now South Sudan in Ethiopia, which is kind of cool because one of my very best friends is from South Sudan. So, you know, kind of neat how that worked out. But, so that's what happened, right? So I pretty much am the world, okay? There's really no, you know, there's only three groups that aren't represented by me. Oh, no, I'm sorry, four groups because South Africa's not in there. So I forgot about South Africa. So Northern Asia, South Africa, Pacific Islander, Caribbean Islander, and that's it. Northern, Southern Europe, you know, Finland, South Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, Central Africa, and the Americas. I mean, come on. Where else do people live? So, here I am. Apparently a wonderful mix of all that. I guess that explains all my genetic freakness, like my distaste for cilantro. I'm one of, I think, 14% of the people in the world that find that cilantro tastes like soap. And it's because there's a chemical in cilantro that is very similar to soap that only 14% of the world have the genetic coding to be able to pick up on the smell of it, and the smell of it gives you the taste of it. Maybe that's related to me being able to grab potatoes out of the oven. I don't know. But the point is, right, I am who I am. I'm no different and no better and no worse than anybody else on this planet. Anybody that exists, that's it. We're all the same. What we do with our potential, that's what makes us different. But I'm not born any better or any worse than anyone else. And I don't want a world where people look at each other differently, right? But that's what we have. And it's done for all manner of reasons. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, you know, this thing happened. This guy walked into the church, did whatever he did, shot 9 people, left. You know, that's the way that it is. That's what happened. And things need to change. Because nobody's life. It's like I'm becoming a vegetarian because I realize that no cow, no chicken, no pig, no duck, any other animal, their life is not any less valuable than mine. I don't need them to survive. So why would I kill them? Why wouldn't I let them live a full cow life? I understand that means that eventually cows as a species would go extinct. If we all didn't eat cow, eventually they would either revert back to their wild state, because we wouldn't need to farm them anymore, or they would all get killed off. So we wouldn't have the meat cow that we have, the farm cow that we have now. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I don't want to hasten the individual life of any cow. It's not my place. It's not my place to decide what human being lives or dies, so why is it my place to decide what animal lives or dies? It's not. Unless I'm in immediate danger. If a dog attacks me, then that is immediate danger and I can defend myself. All right, because that's happened to me. I've discussed that. But other than that, there's no reason, right? So there's no reason for this guy, except in his mind, based on the training that he got from this society, to believe certain things, and then whatever his experience was that made him snap and do this. You know, but it was racism, it was terrorism, he was trying to make a point, he was trying to force his beliefs and behaviors on other people through an act of violence. That is terrorism. That is what it is. That is the definition of terrorism. Using violence or the threat of violence to get people to capitulate to your point of view. That is what That is what terrorism is. End of. And that is what he was doing. He clearly stated, I think these people are trying to take over my country, and I'm going to act on it and make them stop. That is what terrorism is. Stop calling it anything else. Please. At the end of the day, you know, it all has to change. So many people need to stop saying, oh, well, those people deserve it because they did this, and those people deserve it because they did that. You know, that's not, no, they don't. Nobody, you know, nobody chooses to be born in a specific country. Nobody chooses to be born to specific parents. Nobody chooses to be born into any specific situation. And we all are going to do the best that we can with whatever situation. And some people are going to do better than others with their situation. Okay? Two people born into the same circumstances will do differently. And yes, sometimes people will be this and sometimes people will be that. That's up to each individual. And everybody deserves the basic necessities to live. Okay? Food. Well, we've gone over this. Food, water, shelter, clothing, housing. Or food, water, shelter, clothing, and health. Sorry. I did have a little bit to drink before I came and did this. I was eating dinner, nice vegetarian bolognese. At bolognese, you gotta have wine. I'm sorry. I didn't have that much to drink, though. But these chips are kind of messing with me, too. So, you know, I don't look down on people. I don't say, oh, well, you know, they must be lazy. It must be because they're addicted to drugs. They must be this. They must be that. In fact, you know, they have these programs now in certain states where they test, people on state aid. We call it welfare as a catch-all. But government aid, they test them for drug use. And the fact is that in those states, they spend more on the drug testing than they save in kicking people off because they're using drugs. Because as it turns out, people that are getting welfare, which is any state aid, right? People getting welfare use drugs at a lower rate than normal society. Because poor people can't afford drugs. So stop saying, oh, and that's the other thing. Person, you know, begging on the street who's clearly drunk and everything. Oh, well, you're just going to spend it on alcohol. Well, what are you going to spend your money on? Why are you judging him? Why are you judging her? Someone's in need, help them out. These stupid laws now, you can't give leftover food to people begging on the street. I do it. I don't care. Write me a ticket. Arrest me. If someone needs food and I have food, I'm going to give it to them. And I don't give a damn what your law says. Because you don't want to encourage that behavior. Well, screw you. All right? New York City, I'm looking at you. There's a bunch of other cities across the nation. Where, look it up. Seriously, look it up. Where that's illegal. Because we look down on those people. Well, screw them. You know, they're lazy. They're crazy. They're whatever. No, they're my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to help them out if I can. And that's what everybody should do. And those people in that church in Charleston were my brothers and sisters. And even the asshole that pulled the trigger, you know, he's an asshole, but still, he's a human being. And I don't have any sympathy for him as a human being, but I have sympathy for myself. And I need to do right by me and not worry about him in that respect. He needs to be removed from society. This is true. I got into a big argument with somebody who was saying that he needed to be killed. I still don't believe in that. I don't believe that I have the right to say who lives and dies. Because that's what he was saying. He was saying, I have the right to decide who lives and dies. And we said, no, that's wrong. So how are we going to prove that it's wrong? In the end, we're going to end up killing him, just like the one, the Boston bomber? It doesn't make any sense. So we prove that murder is wrong by sanctioning murder? Doesn't make any sense. I know, revenge feels good. You know, we like to try and say that it's a deterrent. Clearly, it's not a deterrent because countries with no death penalty have a lower murder rate. So obviously something else is going on. Something else is being added into this. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, we need to start to end racism. We need to start to end the system. It's a system that intentionally keeps certain people with less advantages, less opportunities than other people. And it's 13% of the population. That's what we're talking about here. Okay? People, oh, African Americans are taking over and doing this and doing that. They are 13% of the population. They have been 13% of the population. Historically. Okay? So, they're not, you know, they're just here trying to live their lives. Just like everybody else. And yet we treat them so differently. We treat ourselves so differently. Because are we not all the same at the end of the day? We are. And we give them a horrible experience. I can't really speak to their experience. But I know that we treat them terribly. And we need to stop. And we need to stop pretending that they're different. And we need to stop pretending that the symbols of slavery, of the southern United States who attempted to rebel in order to keep their slaves and keep the North from letting the slaves that had escaped stay up there. That's what this was really about. At the end of the day, it was about holding slaves and returning the slaves that had escaped to the North. That's what they were pissed about. Because northern states were writing laws saying, no, if a free man comes into my state, they're going to remain free. And we're not going to give them back to you because they're a human being. And they deserve to not be forced to work on your farm for nothing. It's ridiculous. And we don't accept that. And that's what the Civil War was all about. The South got pissed off because we stopped giving back slaves. Because we said, no, that's enough. And that's what ended up happening. So, and we need to get rid of all those symbols. We need to get rid of the statues. I'm glad they're vandalizing statues of Confederate generals and politicians and all that shit. I'm glad they're vandalizing them. I wish they would have ripped them down. If I was down there, you know what I would be doing? I'd be trying to rip them down. Like, I'd be taking my pickup truck, yeehaw, and I would be tying up chains and trying to rip those fucking things down. Seriously. I hate them. I think it's stupid. Tim Berry, former lead singer of Avail, has a great song about that called Gabriel Prosser, okay? Or Prosser's Gabriel. You can look it up either way. It's about this slave who ended up being hung for trying to revolt. One of the other slaves turned him in and everything in Virginia. And where he was buried, they have like a parking lot now, no monument, nothing at all. Even though he tried to stand up for what was right. And yet they have all these statues and everything to all these Confederate generals and everything all over the place. And here's this guy who's trying to end that injustice, and he's got nothing. Right? He's got a parking lot over where he's buried. So, you know, he wrote a song about it. It's very cool. Dude's from Virginia. He grew up in Virginia. Avail's from Virginia. They're also a good band if you know, looking for a band to check out. But, you know, it's a folk tune, honestly. It's acoustic, but it's a, you know, it's a great song. So check it out and learn something, you know. You know, there's a lot of that stuff all over the place. It's just, you know, like, you know, they have all these monuments to all these Confederate generals, and for what? What were they standing for? You know, and we call, oh, it was states' rights. That was states' rights to own people. Come on, seriously. Don't gloss over it. Don't try and make it into something heroic. It wasn't anything heroic. It was ridiculous. And it was the costliest war in human life in American history. So, you know, for something that was going to end anyway, eventually. Because eventually the other nations in the world were going to say, well, we're not trading with you. We don't care if you have all the cotton. Because that's what they were doing. You know, they were going to cut us off anyway. You were going to be forced to stop it. And yet you fought this whole war because you didn't get the candidate you wanted elected. And that's what it comes down to. It's not like, and you know, Tea Party today, we're the Tea Party, taxes are too high. Well, you're represented. In fact, you have more Tea Party people now, and are your taxes going down? No. You know why? Because no politician is really interested in bringing your taxes down. And they're not really interested in actually talking about the things that are actually driving your taxes. We spend more on the military than the next 26 largest nations' militaries combined in this world. It is 50% of our federal budget. And no, Social Security does not get put into our federal budget. Social Security is its own separate thing. It's got its own separate tax that you pay for, and that money's yours. And the only reason Social Security is in trouble is because the federal government keeps borrowing from Social Security to cover the shortfalls. Whenever they cut your taxes on federal taxes, they borrow it from Social Security. And then they say, oh, well, Social Security is in trouble and we have to privatize it. And it's not true. Okay? So, you know, those are the things. You know, these people, they don't get it, or they're intentionally disingenuous like a snake oil salesman. Okay? Taxes are the price that you pay for a civilized society. That is that. But we're not civilized, are we? No. We treat other people differently. If you look different, we're going to treat you differently. And I've said for years, and many of my friends can attest to this, my whole thing is, it seems like the darker you are, the less we care about you. And I say that with all seriousness. You know, that's just the way it looks to me. I'm going to punish myself more. It's starting to get really bad. But that's what it seems like to me. I hate it. I've always hated it. I hated it from the time I was a little kid. One of my friends from school came over for the first time to play in my neighborhood. And down the road was a family. And the mother was from Georgia. And after my friend went home, she came to the house and she knocked on the door. And my mother answered. And I was standing there and I heard her say the following: "Your son cannot play with my son anymore because your son plays with a word that I will not say. And I will not refer to it as an abbreviation or anything like that." And you know exactly what word that is. And that was the first time I ever heard that word. I wish it was the last time I ever heard that word. And I had to ask what that word meant afterwards. And that's what that lady said to me, to my mother, and by extension to me. And that has stuck with me since the fourth grade. So I was, what, kindergarten, 4, 5, 6, 7. Kindergarten, 4, 5, 6, 7. I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old, and that's what I was told. That's what was said to me. That, you know, I can't play with her son because of my friends and what they looked like. And that's not right. And you can't do that in this world. You can't, you know, it's just whatever, you know. It used to be people would make excuses, well, that's how they were raised. Well, how long can you make that excuse for? You can't. You can't keep making that excuse. At some point, you got to say, enough. That's it. We're done. I mean, I think maybe now's the time to say that, finally. You know, after 150 years, the South is finally admitting that they lost. They're taking down that flag. They were flying that flag because they were saying, we didn't lose. We're still here. Well, I think it's time to say, no, we did lose, and it's time for us to stop this nonsense. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people in the North that need to learn a very good lesson about the fact that we are all the same, and we all are on this planet, and we are all family, and we all need to work together to make this place better. And I said it, I've said it before, you know, what has the human race done to be so proud of? And ask yourself that question seriously. Seriously think about it. Because I can't think of an answer. I really can't. I can't think of an answer to the question, what has the human race ever done to be so proud of? We've made it to the moon. We've shot two satellites outside of the solar system. But they're not really giving us any information. We haven't done anything. We split the atom and we split the atom and we poisoned the planet with it. We killed each other with it. What have we done? All we've ever done is develop new ways to kill each other because of our perceived differences. And in reality, our perceived differences are foisted upon us by an elite class who are using that conflict to hoard more resources for themselves. And that's that. And we need to stop it. It's just got to cease. And I'm begging you, please stop it. So, you know, I just don't get it. I don't get how people sit there and honestly, believe that there's some sort of difference. Like, our buddy Jimmy the Greek there, who used to say, fast twitch muscles and bullshit like that. No. You know, it's hunger, it's desire, it's practice. There's so much that goes into it, you know, and everybody has the same amount of potential. Some people express the potential differently than others. But the fact is that we all have this potential, and so much of the human race has untapped potential. We don't realize it. Even our best and our brightest have so much more that they can unleash, and they don't even realize it because we're so focused on being who we are. So my time is almost up, and I'm going to be good. I'm going to stick to the time. But I didn't get through 12 chips because, holy crap, these things are torture. And I'm glad they're torture. It's actually a good thing that they're torture because we've been torturing a segment of this population for hundreds of years. And, we need to realize that the pain that we've been inflicting, whether consciously or subconsciously, because a lot of people, you don't feel like in your heart, like, oh, damn it, those people. You don't even realize what you're doing when you're doing it. And that's a big problem. That's probably the biggest problem that we have to overcome is the actual systemic under the surface current that is attacking society, right? You just have to, you have to realize it's there first and go from there and change things. And that's the thing. We have to change. There is a change starting now. We have to keep the momentum going, and we have to keep changing until it's right. Until we get it correct, we have to keep changing. Just because we take down some statues and we take down some flags doesn't make it right. Attitudes have to change. Beliefs have to change. The system has to change so this shit doesn't happen anymore. So people don't walk into a church or anywhere else and just kill 9 people because they feel like those people deserve to die because they're different than me. For whatever reason, it's pissed them off. Okay? It's not right. It's not just. It's not okay that there's a fight and the two different people are fighting and one person, because of how they look, is treated differently than the other person. Or some girl that probably should have shut up, gets slammed into the ground. Or some kid just gets shot because the cop thought that they were a threat. Okay? You have to stop. It just all has to stop. It has to cease. Okay? And people need to rise up and say, this has to stop. You have to act in order to get it to stop. You can't just sit by and say, oh, well, whatever. And you can't certainly, say, oh, well, maybe this person deserved it because, no, they didn't. Okay, there needs to be protests, there needs to be vandalism, there needs to be action in order to get this to stop. So get it to stop. Look at what you're doing yourself and what you can change about your attitude and your opinion on things. Look at yourself first, get yourself straight, and then talk to people about it. And that's how this all begins to end. by realizing, okay, I see what I'm doing there, and that's wrong. You know, and it's that simple. I wave and smile at everybody when I'm running down the road. Because maybe that wave and that smile is the only nice thing that person sees. And I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's clearly a homeless guy hanging out. He just finished puking or whatever. I'm waving and smiling at him. I don't care who it is, what they look like, what they smell like, or anything. Okay? Everybody I pass when I'm running, and anybody in New Haven can tell you, when Gil passes you, he does his best to wave and does his best to smile. A lot of times I can't smile very well because of, you know, how hard I'm pushing, but I do my best. And that's what we all need to do. We need to do our best every day to be our best towards our fellow human beings and accept them as our human family. And that's what I'm leaving you with today. That's it. Episode 8's in the bag. I hope you had some sort of fun. I hope it wasn't too like dour and down. And we will see you next week, all right? So take it easy, keep running, and we will see you. Have fun.